Blog Talk Radio.
As always, I am your host, thank you. I am also the co-founder and creator of the Creative Care Beacon, and we are the Ohio chapter. So, listen, if you guys or a loved one are going through something, a human rights violation case or something, please reach out to us. We want to be the light in the darkness, or that's what the Creative Care Beacon is. We are, you know, there for people that are going through hard times and dark times. So, listen, you know, definitely reach out to us because we know ourselves what it's like to go through something, and reaching out helped us. So, with that being said, please definitely reach out to the Creative Care Beacon, to Peggy or I, or anybody else that is part of us, and we'll see what we can do to help you and get support for you or find a way to help whatever you need. Because there is avenues and things that we can help you with. So definitely reach out to us. Tonight, you know, I want to just going to run through, you know, the rights, you know, as a medical patient, because here in Ohio, it seems like there's a lot of people that are going through something, you know, because I do have a list of things that, you know, people have reached out, and because there's some concerns and people are going through things, you know, via probation and this and that. So, and that's why we're here. Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Tom Norman, for joining and sharing us around and being part of the show. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And all you listeners, I see there's quite a few guys, so thank you very much for joining us, too. Listen, if you want to call the show, you're more than welcome to call into the show if you have questions or concerns, or if you don't agree with anything that I've said, you're more than welcome to give a call at 516-418-5539. Now, listen, you know, when, you know, something happens, when somebody goes through a court case and things happen, and the judge makes rulings, when he rules on a case, And it becomes part of that person's case, that's called case law. That becomes part of law because then people anywhere in U.S. should be able to use any part of U.S. law. And that comes in the form of usually somebody blah, blah, blah versus the state or the state versus blah, blah, blah. Because it's never usually a county or something. It's the state usually filing charges against somebody. And that's just the way it's done, is because the state holds more power than an individual or individual persons. So when the state versus whoever, when you go to court and the state is versus you, and the judge makes, you know, rulings in those cases, it becomes part of it's case law. It happens, you know, for this case. And therefore, it sets precedent. It sets, you know, what should happen in other cases similar to that one. And attorneys can use that. Our judge, and it is recorded, and it is part of case law, in our case, ruled that cannabis being prescribed or giving a recommendation to him, and he made case law about this, and he made a ruling on this, that the recommendation is the same thing as a prescription, because you cannot get cannabis from a dispensary here in Ohio or any other medical state without that doctor saying so. So the judge in our case, Judge Ingram, ruled and said that cannabis, medical cannabis for us, medical cannabis is a prescription, prescribed medicine for us. And he made that ruling that it was a case. So that become case law, and that sets precedents that anybody should be able to use that defense, you know, that, you know, it was a ruling. There was made a ruling already that cannabis is medicine. State of Ohio, when they legalized it, beginning with, it moved it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2, Class 2, however you want to say it. So for us, it moved it to a Schedule 2 for in the state of Ohio. And that's what people failed to recognize. And a lot of times, the prosecutors overlook that. It's not that they overlook it. They bypass that fact because if they have to go by Schedule 2, they're no longer as bad as them charging you as it was still under, you know, a Schedule 1, which is wrong. So anyway, anybody on probation should be able to petition the court, should be able to petition their probation officer to allow them to use cannabis while they're on probation, and that, and it be a yes, without a doubt, because it's already been set. Peggy and I were the first ones that were, was court ordered. We were court ordered, and you can go to our case and look it up, and it's proven. Hey, Mom, thanks for joining us. That Peggy and I were the first ones that was court ordered to continue to use, you know, our fifth stipulation on our bond was that we could not be in an establishment that served alcohol by the drink. But we were to continue to use medical cannabis by the doctor's discretion. So in case, in reality, we were the first ones that were court ordered to use medical cannabis going through a case where we were charged with, yes, trafficking and I had, you know, attempt of manufacturing and possession of hash. It all come down to hash. I was selling hash. I had possession of hash, and it wasn't. It was concentrate. But there's that gray line for the state of Ohio that says that, you know, by definition, any extract from cannabis is hash. And that's what the state defines hash as, is any extract. So, and that was not part of being moved. So anyway, with being charged with possession, because we had a lot of possession charges, we had a lot of use charges, and we had a lot of, you know, several trafficking and possession charges of several parts of Canada. But we were court ordered going through a possession charge. We were court ordered to possess the exact same thing that they were still charging us with. So we went 3 years through our case. 3 years is how long it took. Just a little over 3 years is how long our case took to come to a call. It was finally. 5 months of that, we were restricted from use of cannabis. You know, I had to pass a drug test. And then they gave us back, you know, the use of, because that's when the judge ruled, and he made the ruling that, you know, cannabis was medicine, so we could use medicine as it was. Yes, essentially when the judge makes a ruling in a case and it puts his gavel down and is typed in and it's part of transcript and it's made part of the case, that is what case law means. That's the definition of case law. It makes a ruling on a case on a particular part of or a whole part of, and that's case law. Being charged with the possession and use of cannabis going through, we were court ordered to use cannabis and to possess cannabis, to possess it and use it, going through a possession case. So it was kind of a little on, you know, why we were still going through a case if we were court ordered to continue to use the medicine that we were being charged for using to begin with. And it made no sense. And it was just a power play and a ploy to hold off. You know, we know it was political. It was targeted. We were motivatedly targeted because they knew Again, because when I ran for mayor and then, you know, I put my bid in for a county, you know, political seat in the state, all of a sudden, boom, I'm being raided and talked about like I'm being, you know, possession and I'm selling and this and that. And it was just to hurt political. So it wasn't the fact that we were medical patients using cannabis. It was just the fact that I was a political advocate, a political opponent that used cannabis on a platform of cannabis and freedom of choice. And that happens. They shut people down like that a lot. And it's not right that they do. So anyway, going back to what the show is knowing your rights. And listen, a great man and one of our greatest presidents said, "The advancement and diffusion of knowledge is the only guardian of true liberty." And that is true, because if you the knowledge that you have is as far as your freedom and as far as your choices and as far as what your man, we got a dog drinking, and that's wild. Your rights. Knowing what your rights are is all part of that knowledge, you know, and it is absolutely true. The advancement and diffusion of knowledge is the only guardian of true liberty, because liberty is right now in this country, man, liberty and our rights are under attack, you know, from all sides. And knowing what your rights are, especially as far as what a cannabis patient is, and I encourage you to definitely, and I know a lot of people here in the state, and I've talked to a lot of them, that's why I can say this, and I know that a lot of patients that are registered and are, you know, use the program, don't know what a lot of their rights are and don't know what they're in jeopardy of, because I hear and see freely of all the time, you know, people are talking this and that, and they, you know, realize it. And I hate that, you know, that we're, you know, restricted to certain uses, and we have to only use cannabis this way, and we can't use cannabis that way, and we break in the law, and we're subject to going to jail and serving time and everything. We use cannabis, and I think that that's wrong. I think that a person should be allowed to consume cannabis any way that they feel that they need to. Because nobody knows what a person goes through or what they need to put themselves on a level to where they feel good. And it's not about catching a buzz or being high or anything like that. It's a matter of being well and the well-being and the wellness of your mind and your body. That is what it's about as medical patient, using cannabis on a whole. For somebody that needs it, it is to get better or to feel better. And we know, listen, look, you know that there's a lot of things out there that you know, cannabis is not a cure-all. It's not going to absolutely save your life. And, yes, it can prolong and help a lot of things. And you know, don't take that the wrong way. I absolutely believe in cannabis. I've seen it heal and do a lot of amazing things. If you have MS, it's not going to cure your MS. It's going to alleviate the pains and the difficulties of it. With my Crohn's, I know it's not going to heal my Crohn's, but it puts it in a remission and it puts it on hold and it helps with the day-to-day life. And so I know that, you know, cannabis can help, and it does help. But for those that it can and does help, they should be allowed to have that choice. They should not have somebody telling them that you cannot do it this way, you have to do it this way, because not no one person, again, knows how it is to treat you. You know. So we should have the freedom of choice to be able to do what we need to do for ourselves to heal. That's why, again, and I've said, go back and check me, please, I've said it a lot of my shows, that any program, any medical program or any program in a state that has a program that does not allow a person to grow for themselves, that sets a limit for them, that limits them to a certain amount of dispensaries within a certain area, and then you're only allowed to get a certain amount you're limited to. If you are limited to in a program, then that program is not a patient program, i.e. Ohio's program is not a patient program, and it's not. And it hasn't from the very beginning. Tom says probation goes beyond the bounds of reason in that it attempts to control man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things that are not crimes. You're absolutely right. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principle upon which our government was founded. And yet again, you're absolutely right, Tom. And it does. Prohibition, cannabis prohibition, we were founded on, you know, listen, James Madison, it was an amazing president. He was our fourth president. He is the father of, the author of, he wrote the Bill of Rights. He was president from 1809 to 1817. He also brokered the deal that bought the Louisiana Purchase. He brokered that. He wrote the bill to, or wrote the petition. He overseen the Louisiana Purchase. Was our fourth president, wrote the Bill of Rights, was an amazing president. And he wrote our Bill of Rights for that reason, because we needed that guideline. We needed that set. And those are part of what we were founded on. The Bill of Rights and everything in that is what we're founded on. And anything that prohibits prohibition, anything that does not allow you to be an adult and choose for yourself, is wrong. And it goes against the very principles of the Constitution, like cannabis prohibition. Alcohol prohibition did the same thing. Any prohibition, and you're right, Tom, prohibition law strikes a blow at very principle upon our government, what it was founded on. And it's a shame that a lot of these congressmen, a lot of these senators that are sitting in Washington, that are sitting there on the floor striking down bills left and right to allow people to use cannabis, a lot of them have stock in cannabis companies. You can't tell me they do. And you can go and look. Most times you can look and see what you can see it. A lot of them are invested in cannabis one way or another across the board, because there's a lot of companies that are involved with the cannabis industry, different parts of it. But why they invest in these, they are still criminalizing people, they're still demonizing people, and they're still arresting and treating people horribly. We have people right now in Missouri, Adele and Aaron Wisdom, two great people. She ran, they both ran, she ran for Congress. She was running to better her state, to make her people, constituents, people that put her there, ran on them. And she ran on the freedom of choice. They're facing 10 years in prison. You know, another guy, I mean, he is absolutely sitting in prison now. Lance Gore, you know, let me pull up, there you go. Free Lance Gore. Lance Gore is serving a 10-year prison sentence now for legal cannabis in the legal state. You know, these are people that we need to support. These are people with rights that have been infringed upon, that need our help. You know, whether you write and direct support for them, or if you write their congressman or their legislation and ask for leniency. Another way you can do that is just make pop a sign up. You can tag me, put me in it. I'll make sure that they get to the right people. If you know Aaron and Adele Wisdom, tag them in that. If you know Tracy Gore Pike or Terry Cannon, and either one of them, tag them. Get a picture up if you're on Facebook, and every week or every month it goes to a picture closet gets sent in and asking for leniency. for Adele and Aaron. Let's try to tell you, trust and believe that Carrie Cannon does amazing work, because she did a great job helping us. She got a collage of letters and pictures and support for us. And she was absolutely mentioned in court case, in our court docket, as far as help, and was verbally mentioned from the judge during our case, especially at sentencing, telling that a lot of the letters and support and the pictures and stuff weighed upon that, and of course what was in our PSI, which is a pre-sentence investigation, had a lot to weigh on how he handled our sentencing and how we got sentenced, which I'm very grateful for the way it turned out and how it was. And I was very grateful for the amazing work and teamwork that the Human Solution International helped out with and kind of set a line for, and was appreciative of them. So if you want to know more about what the Human Solution does, you're more welcome to go and check out their website over at thsintl.org. And give them a check out and see what you can do to help them too. Listen, you know, there's another couple of great groups, and I do want to talk on them just real quick. And it is CannonConvictProject.com. Miss Frommer over there, she does an amazing work in helping prisoners get allocated out. They help get people petitioned to get them released. And upon releasing, they help them transition back from prison back to normal life. And another one, freedomgrowforever.org, is another one. Stephanie Lando heads that up, and you can reach out to her, or you can go to their website, either one of them, and check them out. And you can also listen. They do have prisoners, with plant prisoners, that you can write to. So we encourage people, again, to get involved that way. It's an easy way to get involved. It is, you know, to put a little bit of ink to some paper and write to somebody that's serving time for cannabis, letting them know that they are thought of and that people out here do care about them, and that we are advocating to help get all of these people released from prison. Because, again, you know, listen, in a lot of these states, there's people that are going to dispensaries, or whether it's recreational or medical, and that is getting cannabis at a store and consuming it and what have you, while at the same time there's a lot of nonviolent criminals that are serving time, men and women patients. They're not criminals. Of course, that's what they're labeled by for the state, is nonviolent criminals. But nonviolent offenders should be released. People nonviolent that, you know, had nothing to do except with a plant, with nature, especially in states that have some kind of a program, should already be released. If not anything else, their sentence greatly reduced and released. Because if the state is going to be making money off of exactly what they're sitting in prison for, I think it's the state's responsibility to make sure that these people are taken care of. Whether it's released from prison, set some way into some kind of a program to help them allocate back into society, to help them get an education, to let them move forward in life. And I do think that that is the state's responsibility, especially if you're going to continue to make money off of them. Why continue to criminalize them and demonize them and put them through these court cases? There's several people I know right now, and we're pushing hard for them. James Farrell is one of them. Farrell is one of the guys that is suffering horribly at the hands of a criminal Nazi judge that wants to interject her personal feelings into the case, and it's quite evident that, you know, she is very blunt about how she feels. Hey, John, thank you for joining us. She has said it several times in her court that she is not for cannabis use.
that she does not feel that anybody on probation, and again, it's she feels. It's not what state law is. She's bypassed that. She doesn't care about what state law is. She cares about what her feelings is. And I wish I could pull this up for you guys so I could play it because it's very, I think I can. And it's horrible how one person is allowed to get away with this. Here, I'll play it. Okay, but this individual has proven already. So why does she want more documentation? Why is she above the law? And why can she demand more, you know, evidence if a doctor says that he feels that cannabis is good for you? That should be the end of it. Cannabis is good for you. You should not have to prove beyond that anything more, because that's already proven by that doctor saying that this is what it is, that you can use cannabis as medicine, period. So for her to say, quite frankly, anybody on probation does not use cannabis in any under any form, no matter what the disease, especially for epilepsy, is what she said. I can replay it, and I believe that is exactly what she said. But Peggy and I are both on felony probation for the possession and use of cannabis, me for trafficking cannabis. But, you know, we're on probation, but yet we consume cannabis because we're allowed to, because the judge ruled. Again, that's a ruling that's been made in our case. And, again, that is case law. And again, case law is case law, period. It's not something that somebody can pick and choose from. A judge, just like we, have to follow the law. There's a law, and this judge has to follow that law. And state law at that. She's not a federal judge. We're not in federal court. It's not going to federal court. This is just a county seat that has to uphold state law. And state law says that somebody that is on probation can use cannabis as medicine if it is prescribed by a doctor. And a recommendation is what that person's prescription is. I don't know how else to put it. I'll run through a few of these questions that I was hit with this, you know, this week. I've got a friend, and she asked she took her flower and infused it, and she wanted to know what to do with the leftover flower. What she said is she wrapped it up and froze it. Well, once you extract everything from flower that you extract from the flower itself, when you extract it all, the flower is just that. It's plant material at that point. I mean, there might be some trace amounts of cannabis left in it, some THC and some CBD and stuff. You don't want to get past, you don't want to get to where you're extracting the chlorophyll along with everything. So you don't want to take the extraction too far the way you're extracting it. I'm not going to pull any names or anything, but she asked. So I'm answering her. So once you extract, you know, the properties from cannabis, it's no different than grass clippings. You might want to boil it for a low-dose tea if you want to. You know, boil it down and use the water and I wouldn't use a whole lot of water as far as using, you know, what material you have left. You can boil it down in some water and, you know, strain it that way and then make you some tea with that. And it may at that point taste kind of greenish, kind of earthy. But if you use a little honey in your tea and stuff, that kind of helps it with it a little bit. But other than that, there's really no sense in saving it and using it for anything because, you know, once you extract it from, you know, doing the process that you did, there's nothing really left of it. There's, you know, the small amounts of that. In a store selling legal cannabis, Prop 65. Yeah, John, anyway, so yeah, your plant material that you have left over is exactly that. It's just plant material. No different than your grass clippings, again, but you can make a low-dose tea with it if you want, which is pretty nice. It'll help, you know, with relaxation and stuff at the end of the day or whatever. But again, with that, it's just plant material. But John says California state law says that on the labels that cannabis causes cancer in California, stores are selling legal cannabis. I don't think cannabis causes cancer. I think that is a lie. I think that's a propaganda lie. I don't think cannabis causes cancer. I do have seen cannabis cure cancer on that. And I do know that they put it on the packaging, and I know a lot of that is to, again, propagandize what cannabis is. But again, I don't know the reasoning or why they would put that on there. That's a good thing for you to point out. Thank you. Listen, you know, guys, it doesn't cost a whole lot to be decent. It doesn't cost a whole lot to do something nice. And by doing nice is putting pen to paper and please reaching out to somebody. If you please reach out to Adele and Aaron with them and take a snapshot and post, you know, to help support with them. Or you can also help and do support for Lance Gore, you know, a post for him is always appreciative. And go into either one of them sites, you know. You can always go to CanaConvictProject.com and find a plant prisoner there to write to. Or you can even reach out to freedomgrowforever.org and find some plant prisoners there to reach out to and write to. Lance Gore, you don't have his exact address and everything, details in front of me, but you can clip through a couple of the last shows, and it is posted several places. And all my shows are archived, so you can go back and check it out. And his address and mailing details are on several of my previous shows, several of them. So if you can't find it, reach out to me and I will grab it, snag it, and throw it up. I may do that anyway, just so people can have it here on this show as well. But, you know, listen, I'm going to reach out to several people this coming week and we'll see what I can shake loose as far as some guests that wants to come on and give some education and somebody that's going through something. You know, I definitely want them to share their story because that's what I look for. I showcase people that have a story to tell and something to get out there because public support and public awareness is absolutely a big thing. It's vital. It's very important, you know, as a community that we do stick together and that we do help one another. Those are important things. And being there for one another is always another important thing. Listen, you guys can always find me here next week at the same time, at the same place. So again, you know, reach out to somebody this week and write them and let them know that, you know, somebody is thinking of them getting their name called during mail call has no idea what that does mentally for somebody. So definitely please reach out to somebody this week and write them and give them a few letters. Until next week, you guys, all please and thank you and have a good week. Thank you for joining me here on the radio show. I see everybody here that joined. I appreciate you guys. Again, until next week, thank you for joining me.